Hey, North Coast, Chris here. Hope you're off to a great week. What a beautiful morning. I have got a 13-minute story that I'm going to do in less than 5 minutes. So buckle up, drive slow, but listen fast. This goes back to the beginning of the first kings of Israel. The people pick a king named Saul. He's terrible. God picks a king. He's going to make a mess out of the people's choice, like he always does. And he picks a guy named David. Now, Saul knows David is God's choice, so he hates him. For 10 years, he tries to kill him. But Saul has a son named Jonathan, who also knows that David will one day take his place, take his throne, but a completely different heart. Since God's hand is on David, Jonathan helps him. Well, over the course of 10 years, Saul will get killed in battle. Jonathan will lose his life in battle. Saul's entire family and dynasty will be destroyed. In the midst of a kingdom in crumbling, a nurse runs in and grabs the son of Jonathan, the king's grandson, and runs for safety. She trips, she falls, his legs are shattered, and he never walks again. David one day will take over the throne. He'll set up a kingdom in Israel. And in one of the first things he does, he wants to know who is left from the line, the family of King Saul. Now you know how it works in the ancient world. You kill everyone in that dynasty so no one can come back and claim your throne. Not a man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is going to become your favorite story. Now King David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And they called in one of the servants that used to work for King Saul. And he says, "My lord, there is still one left, a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" King David asked. "He is at the house of Machir of Amiel in Lodabar." So King David sent for him. "There's still a grandson, your buddy Jonathan's little boy. He lives a crippled life in Lodabar." It's a Hebrew word that means no bread, no sustenance, no wilderness. I mean, all wilderness, no relationship, no community. He's an outcast. He's fearing for his life. Imagine the knock on his door when you're found out and the new king wants to see you. He has to know this is the last day of his life. Watch what David does. David said to Mephibosheth, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your father Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king called in the servants and said, "All of Saul's land, give to his grandson. You guys farm it for him because he can't do it himself." And the story ends simply like this. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons for the rest of his life. Did you catch out this story? Instead of doing what culture would demand, kill the last of the heir, David acts much like Christ. It's a very symbol of what God does to us. He goes, "No, I'm going to bless you at someone else's expense." He basically says, on behalf of someone else, you're going to get grace and mercy. Not only that, all that the king once had now belongs to you. Oh, you've got no title to it. You've got no right to it. I'm simply giving it to you. Not only that, you are going to eat at my table for the rest of your life, and you're going to be seen as one of my own children, a son or daughter, a prince or princess in the kingdom. What a picture of God's grace. He looks at the mess I've made in life and says, "Chris, I'll do plan B out of it. I know you did things your way. I know I told you not to. I know you disobeyed, but now you're going to get grace and mercy instead." Then he says, "Because you've trusted me and put your life in me, all that the king has is yours. All that the king has is yours. You didn't do anything for it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's simply given to you because of Jesus. On behalf of someone else, I now show you grace and mercy." And did you get that last picture? The lame man sits at the king's table and is called a son. When you sit at the table, it hides his brokenness. When he sits at the table, no one sees what's broken. He just looks and appears like a son of a king. When I come to this God in my brokenness, when he sees what I've done in life and what I deserve, and instead, because of Jesus, he gives me mercy, I sit at the king's table and my brokenness is hidden. May you and I be people that because of this mercy and grace that God has given us, we extend that to those in our life. Not that deserve it, not that have earned it, but simply because how it's been shown to us. And may you and I walk today knowing we sit at the king's table as sons, daughters, prince, princesses, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of what we've lost. And all that is broken is hidden. It is done away with. And all that's left is position of family. What a story. Mephibosheth, now one of your favorite characters in the Old Testament.